If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no. Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with two guests who have been on the podcast before, but I was thinking about this before we got here, and in both cases, you guys were both on like really, really early in the podcast kind of history. One of you was on like in one of the first years, and then the other one was on like maybe 3 or 4 years into it. But I mean, it's been a while. I've been doing this thing forever, and neither of you have been on recently. So I know there's a lot to talk about. I think that the best way to start this off is if the two of you want to introduce yourselves, and then maybe just give a bit of background about why we're here today. Because I mean, you've both been in bands that I've talked about on the show before, but we're talking about something a little different today. So Sean, do you want to start?
Sure. I'm Sean now. I'm an old guy. I've been around. I was, in Duo Tang, drummer for Duo Tang, and before that, Bovine and stuff. And I guess we were the ones who did one of the first podcasts with you, right? I think. Was that us?
Aaron was actually before you, but you were in the early years too. Yeah, yeah. Aaron, who is also was on an episode.
Better looking too.
What's that?
Better looking.
I was better looking back then. Yeah, that's what I've been.
No,
told,
I was better looking than both of you. That was the answer. Okay, so we got Sean and we got Aaron. And Aaron, the Invisible Man, as you were known, are known perhaps still. You were on an episode about JFK and the Conspirators, which was a band that you played in, and you were also on just a random episode in the early years where we just get two random people and talk about songs basically. And that was a weird one. It was really long. I don't know how it's worth listening to. I mean, it was like 2013 or something, but I'm glad to have you both on now and talking about something a little more specific maybe than the last time you were on, Aaron.
Yeah, well, no, it's a pleasure because we still have lots of things going on, like the Mod Club Nights at the Pyramid. That was, 12 years ago? Maybe plus.
Yeah, and we've done one-offs. Like last year, we went to Banff to do one. And I mean, but we haven't done one in a while. I mean, COVID interrupted that, right?
Sure. So, well, and maybe just for context, I mean, that's kind of why we're here today. We're talking about the Mod Nights, right? I mean, and if you go back 12 years, however long it was a big thing in Winnipeg. I mean, you were doing these regular shows where you're DJing. There'd be people. I mean, I remember seeing people lined up down the street to get into these shows. Like popular endeavor.
My friends joke that it's the night that built Dave's house, because you know what, we lucked in. I guess we'll get to that later, but yeah, it was. I was talking to a friend, Mikey B, and he was involved in. Oh, what were the nights called? Right after us, they're doing another one. They did it at
Is it the Nutty Club?
No, we did one with the Nutty Club. We did one with him too. Not Gripping. Was it Gripping Grain? And then there was another one. But anyway, he had done an article, and I guess, like, with the Duo Tang stuff, I guess a lot of stuff comes up about how, we were successful, but we were, I guess, inspired a lot of bands, or whatever. We're a band's band. And this article I was reading, it was, like, about the Mod Club. And I felt pretty good about myself because it was saying how we inspired other DJs, like the Dan and Kevin, Ready Mix guys came after us.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I guess maybe it was kind of like the Duo Tang thing too. Well, these guys can do it and we can do it. Like they're not DJs, but we can have a night too. And I look back at the Mod Club and we fluked into it. And it was bartenders were walking away with $300 in tips back then each.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's why we're here, Mod Club, and there were tons of stories and tons of famous people who showed up at the night. And
before we get into I mean, what's the, can you just give people who don't know, right? Because, I mean, it's been a while, like you said, since this is, the Mod Club's been the thing, since it was sort of a regular event people went to. What was it? I mean, if you can give like kind of a quick Cole's Notes version of what you guys actually did at the show, what kind of stuff you were playing, who was sort of aimed at, I think that would be a good way to kind of start off here.
Well, if I may, for me, it was all about recreating the scene from one of my favorite movies, Quadrophenia. And it's the dance hall scene where he jumps off the balcony. But that to me was kind of a like a dream DJ scenario. And so I kind of always wanted to do something like that. And then we started with Saturday nights at the D Machine, Chaos Chameleon, and then eventually Sean and I got hired to do it at the Pyramid. Right.
Well,
under the Mod Club flag.
That was the thing too. It's like, to me, it was at the time playing a certain type of music that was more relevant then, I guess, but not at, like, that people had heard in their parents' cars.
Sure.
And in their rec rooms and stuff. And some Britpop stuff and whatever else, because there was nothing, there was the nights you guys were doing, but there was, besides that, there's nothing else really going on. I guess how it started, and you talk about the Quadrophenia thing, you know, here's the weird thing, that the guys from the Mod Club asked, because I had known them, like it was Mark Holmes from Platinum Blonde and Bobby Guy, who we ended up flying in to do a Mod Club with us. But they had asked, I guess they knew us, they knew me, and I think they knew Aaron too, and asked specifically if we were interested, because I know somehow Dave got a hold of me and asked me, and your name was bandied about. But the weird thing about the Quadrophenia thing is Mod Club in Toronto was at odds with a place called Blow Up, which was a Britpop night.
Okay.
And speaking of that Quadrophenia, Dan, the DJ's name was Davey Love, who knew everybody. Like, I mean, he had toured with In Spinal Carpets. He knew some of the guys in Oasis. Like, and I've never felt that before, is when Rod and I went to the first Blow Up and saw everybody dressed to the nines. And actually, how, you know, cliche is it, or but wonderful, that Green Onions was playing when we walked in.
That's awesome, though. Great song.
And the walls, and this is when they were starting off small. The walls were sweaty. It was in a basement. And then they moved to the Alma Combo top floor. And to tell you the truth, that's one of the first times I kind of felt like a rock star, where I'd known me and Rod had done something, because it wasn't like people, wasn't like, oh, you got this show or you got this show. The Blow Up would go until 4 a.m. or 5 a.m, right? And Rod and I, whenever we were in Toronto, we never missed one. Because at the end, we became friends with Davey and everything. But we got, and there was a lineup. It was like 1 a.m. And the guy at the door recognized us and took us in to meet Davey. And that's when I felt like, oh my God, this was the second time when they moved to the Alma Combo. It was like, that's when I knew, oh, you're doing all right. You know what I mean? Now we're in Blow Up. But anyway, so they were at odds with the Mod Club, started doing nights on the same night, which kind of made no sense, you know, like, but they were great guys. I mean, it's Toronto, it's a big enough city, but I guess I'm rambling on. But that, so then when the Mod Club asked us to do it, I realized there, you know, we can do something with this. And to tell you the truth, I don't know what Aaron thinks, but I didn't expect much from it. I was just like, you know, we get 30 or 40 people really appreciating the music, which it was for the first couple of months. And we can play, you know, Blur and, you know, like play Green Onions and, you know, whatever, Nolan Porter and whatever. Then I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Get some free beer, you know, maybe $50, we thought then.
And good records that you like to listen to, right? Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. And some of our friends will come up, right? And so that's pretty much the impetus and how it started. And then, out of nowhere, it just blew up.
Yeah,
right?
It was kind of it was really sudden, hey? Like, it went from us hanging out with our friends, and boom, it was full.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I think two main things really did it. It started getting it's almost like a band. When you're a smaller band, you have your first following, right? And so it started getting a little more packed, went from 30 people. It went from 10 people, you know, to 30, to 50, to 60. And then I think it was around Christmas time. It was two things. There was, what were the Anders, the Eckerson brothers? What was the...
Oh, the Inward Eye?
Inward Eye, yeah. played a mod club.
Right, and they were getting huge at that point, right? They had like they got a little buzz around them, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then all their following started coming. And I think this might have been after the fact when it was really packed. I don't know. But I think the Sharon Jones show, like for Jazz Fest, like Sharon Jones played at like 9 o'clock.
I was at that show. It was great. It was a great show.
And man, she was in the band room. It was just me and her. And she actually stuck around in her backing band, the Dap Kings. They were with like Lily Taylor and Amy Winehouse, the stories they told. But they said, oh, yeah, you know, Sharon usually just takes off, but she's enjoying, you know, you two white kids playing this music. And so I guess Aaron started DJing or whatever after me. I went in and she was singing me like Aretha Franklin and Tina Turner songs. Like, this, like, she was.
That's cool.
Across from me on a chair and just singing to me. I'll never forget that moment. I mean, like, I almost want to cry. Like, I mean, you know, to tell that story, but I think those two things really helped. I know the Inward Eye thing really helped too. It got some of that younger following who maybe they were into whatever. And then it was just a place to be. I mean, let's be honest. A lot of people really learned something about music, not that we were, you know, but older music and dug it. And it was just the hip night, right? Which is weird to, you know, two older dudes playing 60s music, who would have thunk, instead of, you know, playing what was popular at the time, which was, who knows, it was like hip-hop, right?
Well, I think there was a sense of like not really educating, but we were able to go from genre to genre to genre. I believe maybe it was kind of exciting for the younger people, in the sense of not going to a strictly techno night or a strictly drum and bass night. Like we were all over the map,
right?
And so if you didn't like that song, like, hang on 10 minutes and boom, you'll find something.
I mean, you know, and usually you'll find it twice, because someone mentioned this to me a couple of nights ago. It's like, yeah, it was Mikey B actually. He's like, yeah, I'd always laugh because I know you would do a set and then, you know, I'd take off because, like, I mean, I've heard this guy DJ a million times. I'd go to the band room, right? Or I'd go and he'd play a song I had just played like 40 minutes ago because he wasn't listening to me. So anyway, where was I going to go? And I think a really cool thing about it too is, like, yeah, it was such a diverse crowd. It was hip. It was all the hipsters and future hipsters. It was our friends. And there was a lot of younger kids who, like Aaron said, wouldn't necessarily ever go to listen to music like that. And I think one point that I'm most proud of about the Mod Club, there wasn't one single fight. You know, I would always say to people how they'd be like, this place is, it's like, you know, packed in a can of sardines or whatever. Like, how can there not be a fight? It's like, well, you know, it just goes to show about music. How the hell can you fight till you can't hurry love by the Supremes, right? How is that going to start a rumble?
That's true. You know,
it's not. Yeah. So it was the vibe of the night. Right.
Yeah. The security guards just loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, they just had to stand back and watch all the fun. Like, they had nothing. Not a problem.
Like,
in what? Three years.
Yeah. And people dancing on the stage. You know, I think that's the most tense it ever got. It was like when someone would bump into you know, one of our table a bit. Like, and then once. Yeah. It was unfortunate, but a woman had fallen off the stage, and she was fine after, but I mean, shook it up, where to the point where, and I just remember some people were actually getting angry, like, well, how could you keep the music going? And also, it was like, well, you know, if you're kind of have done that for a long time, you don't stop the music.
Right.
And have everybody pay attention to someone who's hurt. You know what? Hey, look over here. You know, it's like, you let it.
I don't even think I knew what had happened. It was so crowded and so many people around. Like, if you stopped and made a scene.
Well, no, that's exactly it. Everybody stop having fun and you're drunk and just let's stand here in silence as this, you know, woman is attended to.
Yeah.
Right. Well, but well attended to, like taken care of, ushered out the back door there, and maybe 95% of the people had no idea that anything even happened.
No.
And that's like one out of like 3 years, and that's not even.
And that was an accident where she fell off the stage.
Yeah.
She was.
Well,
she was quite fine.
That's good. That's what you wanted. So that keeps the positive vibe going, right? As long as no one's seriously injured. But so at one point, this was it became like the place, like you said, the place to go. It was, there were a few times I went and didn't go in because the lineup was too long. Like it was just, there was that many people, and it was like, you know, I can't handle this. It's too busy. And that's a good problem for you guys to have, right? But what was sort of the peak of it? Like at what point was it sort of at its most, attended and successful?
You know what? It this is the weird thing about Winnipeg. I would say, I'm like halfway through the run, like always, right? But this is Winnipeg, and this is the odd thing, because I went to Arizona with the McKeegan brothers, which is a podcast in itself. I love them, but going on a trip with those two guys, because that was pretty much a bonus. I don't know why Aaron didn't come. I don't know why it was just me, and I felt bad about it. Like, I mean, you yelled at me about it, but it's like, I don't know. But it was packed up until one night before that flight. It was like three quarters of the crowd, and then it was half the crowd, and then it was gone. It was dead. It happened that quick, which was just like, what the hell just happened? So it was always pretty much peaking and stayed that way, and then just went boom. And then a couple of night weekends after that, that's when Ready Mix and Mikey B and Rob Villar's thing, they were smart enough to go, okay, well, let's start something on a Thursday at a D Machine.
Right, get that audience that isn't going get to Mod Club anymore. Yeah,
Because it just was like, I mean, and I guess, you know, pat ourselves on the back that we kept it for that long, but then it was like, well, I guess that's Winnipeg too, and you're the hip thing, and then you're not, and then boom.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that just the nature of doing this? Like that's gonna inevitably happen. Like it's just gonna something new will come up, or people are gonna change their tastes, or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, and I think we just had our run, right? I mean, we were even just starting to mail it in and play the same stuff, and I wasn't looking for new music to play, or I mean, you know, we were kind of stuck in a genre, but not really. I mean, we could have played newer Brit pop or whatever.
Right.
I mean, whatever Brit pop is. I remember at the Mod Club having a conversation with someone telling me that the Cardigans weren't Brit pop.
And, Swedish pop, right? Swedish Brit pop.
But I mean, you know, everybody I knew who was in a band or like Mod Mute or whatever listened to that first Cardigans album.
Great album,
right?
Yeah.
Like, so it's just like, it's Brit pop to me because, or not, I mean, Swedish, it's mod music, that's what I mean, because anybody who was into mod culture liked that album, right? I mean, mod is whatever you make it.
Well, it's funny that you were talking about this, because I know when you were on the first time talking about Duotang, the whole thing about whether you were a mod band came up, and that kind of label sort of followed you around, and it almost seemed like it wasn't something you welcomed as a musician, but then with the DJ thing, you leaned,
can I start up the mod club,
leaned fully into the mod thing, right? Like both of you seemed like it was sort of that was like a badge of pride to be the mod DJs.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, just because, like I said, like it was started in Toronto. That was the name we used, and it was like, yeah. I mean, with the Duotang thing, we were labeled in that. I mean, I know there's still grown adults who like talk about they're not a mod. He's not. It's like, who cares? Like, I mean, you know, but yeah, we did wear it as a badge of pride, because at that time, like I said, there was nothing else in Winnipeg that was playing. I mean, that's the thing about Blow Up, the first time I went, and then the Mod Club, and then even at this place in Vancouver before Winnipeg, I was like, wow, there's bars that play like Oasis and like the Stones and like, you know, the Kinks. I was like, wow. So yeah, I guess I embraced it more with the Mod Club. I embraced it with Duotang too. It's just like, let's talk about the music more. And but then with the DJing thing, it's not, we're specifically playing. We're not playing Metallica. You know, right, we're not playing stuff on the radio. We're playing a certain, even though, you know, after a few drinks, Aaron used to get mad at me about, like, I'd kind of veer off, you know. What were some of the, what were some of the doozies I played, Aaron, that you get mad about?
Oh my God! What's the song that you always wanted to finish with?
Not Last Dance by Donna Summer.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, there you go.
I like it. You know what? You know what? I'm gonna, next time we DJ, you know what I'm gonna be finishing off with? Yeah. Last Dance by Donna Summer.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Well, it's a given now.
Yeah, now
it's
bought. It's
bought.
Yeah.
That maybe is a good segue into, I mean, the next time you DJ. Well, the reason we're talking about this now is because you guys are doing this again. Why now? I mean, you know, like you said, it kind of had its time and then it ended. And I mean, it's many years later now. I know you've done other things throughout the years, you know, here and there. But what is the impetus for in 2024 trying to do this again here?
I'll let Aaron answer. But first, I think it was just people.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
People were bringing it up to me all the time about Mod Club stories and everything. And, oh, remember the Mod Club? There isn't really, you know, I feel bad for the kids now. I mean, there's not really thing like that. I don't think we're going to capture magic in a bottle and have it again. It's just like, you know, I had an old friend who I used to talk to, and they had said, you know, you got to get DJing again. You like it. You know, they were all saying I should start drumming again. We'll talk about that later. But, and I was like, yeah. And you know, me and Aaron, we stopped doing it, but we never said we'll never DJ again.
Right.
It's just a chance to do some one-offs, play the music we like. And, you know, hopefully, you know, some new kids come out and a bunch of old friends come out, you know, like if it's free or if it's $5 or it's like, come, you know, the thing with the Mod Club and doing nights like that. I was DJing at Bar Italia for a while on Wednesdays because Ray asked me with a friend. And it was fun because I didn't have to keep a dance floor.
Right.
You know, I could play Tame Impala. I could play Granddaddy. And then I could play, you know, some Who or what. I mean, with the Mod Club, it's a lot of work because when you're doing that kind of night, you constantly want a dance floor, right? So we're going to be doing a birthday party, not much pressure. And then on June 14th, we're going to be doing the ANAF as the Mod Club.
Okay.
And the type of place it is, I mean, it would be great if we had a dance floor going all night. It would be great if we had a dance floor for 20 minutes going, right? But if we don't, and there's people show up and have drinks and enjoy the music, right now that's all that matters to me. And, you know, so.
Yeah, well, I think a couple of things. I miss my radio show. Like, I haven't done my...
I miss your radio show, too.
Show on UMFM since COVID. So I'm kind of missing the interaction with the picking and picking of music and thinking about the mathematics of my sets. Yeah. And then when the Mod Club was sort of finishing at the Pyramid, we all got married and we all had kids. And now my oldest just turned 18. So maybe I got a little more time on my hands too. And I think like a bunch of people in our sort of circle friends kind of thing that are about the same.
Yeah.
Like they only go out once a month to something really special and make it more of an event versus a weekly thing that we used to have.
Can't do it anymore.
So I think the idea is to create like something once in a while that is more of an event and will draw that out and maybe working in a smaller environment like the ANAF club, like, you know, you get 50 people in there, it's gonna be a good time.
Yeah.
You know, but we're hoping for 150, don't get me wrong, but not like the Pyramid where it's a barn. Like you get 50 people in there.
Oh, it looks empty, right?
It's empty. Yeah, whether or not people are having a good time or not, but
well,
perception is that it's empty.
But that's more of a venue where you're going for that specific reason, right? Like, I mean, it's you don't go to the Pyramid to sit at a table with your buddies and, you know, have a couple of cocktails. Like, I mean, it's a barn where it looks funny if nobody's dancing.
That's right, yeah.
Right? Or you go to the ANAF or even like the Bar Italian or whatever, where there's people digging it, but they're sitting down, they're walking around the room. You do that at one of those venues like the Albert or say when the Goodwill was around, we're saying come dance.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so it's a totally different kind of vibe. So,
you know, I had a lot of fun at the Sub City show the other night where I really didn't have to think about a dance floor either. But I was having fun looking around the crowd and noticing people bobbing their head or dancing their feet to what I was doing at that particular time. And I was enjoying that as opposed to like holding on to a dance floor crowd like Sean was mentioning. Like sometimes when you have that kind of crowd in front of you dancing, like it is a bit of work in the sense of maybe having to
keep the momentum,
play some more usual kind of hit, kind of mod usual things, as opposed to being able to like play some new obscure 60s surf rock band from Japan. I found which is amazing to me, but maybe not going to create a dance floor out of it. But
well, you know what would have created a dance floor if you would have played Last Dance by
definitely.
Last Dance and Out.
Yeah, you would have got a dance floor.
Yeah,
so that's all I'm saying.
So, where can people go see this? You said it's the ANAF Club. What's the date? What's the details on when it's happening?
It's June 14th. We were holding off to just get more information until we did this with you, which we're appreciative of. And I think it's a Friday, June 14th. If not, it's June 14th. And I just called Anders from, what's the band again?
Inward Eye.
And because he's managing there or taking care of that stuff. And asked him if he'd be interested. He's like, oh, yeah, right. So we were waiting to do this. And there'll be posters. We'll post on our social media page, like our Facebook page for the Mod Club. And it'll be the first time we're doing a thing this Saturday for Steve McKeegan's birthday. But that's just because, you know, we he's a good guy and we're doing it. But this...
Yeah. That's more like a private party. Almost.
It's a warm-up, I guess, this, for you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically a warm-up, exactly. Yeah. This is not going to be the first one. Like, we're going to get the ball rolling, I guess, and do a few more along the way here. Like, this is not going to be the only one for 5 years. Cool.
We'll keep doing it. I guess I talked too much. So it would have been great to get into like how I was talking about all the famous, like the stories, just the
the Luke Wilson. Who's the guy from Titanic?
Brian Paxton. She Wants Revenge. Who else? Ben Kingsley.
Oh, wow, that's pretty Ben crazy. King- yeah, that's crazy.
who wanted to be called Sir Ben? Yeah, but just like so many people would show up, and it's crazy because some of these people would like say even like the CFL players that when they used to have Thursday night games would come to the Mod Club. Like, oh, right, we heard that there's, and it was such a good crowd. Like, it was like a lot of the servers from all like Moxie's and Earl, like they would come after work, right? Or what? It was such a good crowd and so many. Yeah, I mean, you know what, that Luke Wilson night was just a crazy night that went late, and the amount of people that didn't know. I knew this one person who told me that she was there upstairs with us, and when we had first met, I was like, no, you weren't. Oh, yeah, I was. I was like, no, because I did the Mod Club. I was upstairs. It was almost like the Green Day thing about with all the people that had seen Green Day at the Albert. Right,
everyone was there, but no one was there.
Exactly. So I just found it funny.
Well, one of the good things...
That was so hot that night, too. Oh, my God. I had to take my shirt and jacket off and... I was naked from the waist up. It was so hot.
I'm sure the massive crowd doesn't help either.
Yeah.
The good thing about this being a podcast, right, is people hopefully will hear it before you do the show on the 14th, and they'll come out and relive old glories or whatever. But it'll be floating around the internet forever because I do this show perpetually, and apparently I'm never stopping. So someone could hear it like a year from now, two years from now. Maybe by then you're doing more stuff. What's the best way to sort of follow what the Winnipeg Mod Club is up to going forward?
Probably the Facebook page, eh?
Yeah, the Facebook page.
The Mod Club Winnipeg Facebook page.
And, you know, maybe we'll one day get on an Instagram page. Because I know Aaron...
I think I have an old MySpace page.
Well, yeah. there is one. We started with MySpace, started getting it, and then all of a sudden this thing called Facebook popped up. And so we went to that. But maybe we'll start an Instagram page because Aaron has a bunch of old pictures.
Oh, cool.
And I know.
Oh yeah, tons. There's so much fun to look back at, try to go through the crowd and pick out people.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah. I'm glad you guys are doing this again. I mean, it's I haven't gone. I don't go out much either. I'm one of those people you described who basically goes out
once
a month.
Well, you're too busy doing this.
Yeah, exactly, right? And kids and work and everything else, right?
Yeah.
So I know the kind of demographic you're going for with this, and I think a lot of those people who were at the Sub City show, like, I was there too. I saw you DJing Aaron, and it was like, oh, of course Aaron's DJing. This makes complete sense. And, yeah. and that was all like kind of just seeing familiar faces, and I think that's hopefully what you get today on this show too, and then maybe some new ones as well, which will be get some new blood in there who maybe weren't around for the first Mod Club.
Well, that's the goal, and we appreciate you having us on. Like, I mean, your podcast is amazing. Even
thanks.
I was talking to Aaron about it when I did the one with Rod with you. It was like the questions you asked, and I was telling everybody, it's like we're just like amazing and on point, and you're great at what you do, and so yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. Yeah.